B-Pod Studios.
They work.
Arr, matey.
Well, you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's a noontime hour.
One of the best nights ever. I told you this.
Which
like
night
two,
was that?
2 or 3 years ago.
I mean, you've had a lot of those in your life.
Down in Foxwoods doing the cheerleader competition.
Yeah.
So the kids and wife are up in the bed, you know, nice suite we have and this and that. So I go down, I'm going to go like play the tables a little bit.
Put the wife and kids to bed and go hang out with the cheerleaders.
Walking down, this guy grabs me. Hey, want to see a good concert? I'm like, I'm always up for a good concert. Masters of Rap, DJ Cool, Dougie Fresh.
Place was humping, bumping. Played
out of, it was at the arena there.
And you just walked in?
Walked in. Yep. Contact high.
I just got tickets for Chappelle.
Weed everywhere. You could smell the weed.
That's awesome.
Who?
Dave Chappelle.
Oh, wow.
He's coming to Foxwoods.
When's that?
June.
Ooh.
2024.
2025.
No, it's interesting. It sort of relates to not only concerts and comedy shows and entertainment. It might somehow end up tying into sports. I don't know this.
Hope so.
So as part of buying the tickets, you agree to be rapid tested before going in. So you go there. They give you a rapid test. You must wait to get cleared on your test. And if everyone in your group passes... Sounds weird to say. Pass my COVID test. If you are all negative, you go in. And masks are worn the entire time. If anyone in your group does not pass the COVID test, none of you go in. You all get kicked out and you get your money back.
Sounds fair. If you want to go in, hey, do this.
I know. It's just, you imagine that in a auditorium full of people.
Yeah, rapid test me every day.
And they test every single person that goes in.
Sounds good.
Like, that sounds like a pretty good system. I don't know how you could scale that up. And imagine, by the way, rapid testing is not perfect.
See,
as we know, my fear would be a false positive because
right.
We know that the false tests on rapids go more positive. There's false positives. There's, I think, very few false negatives.
But think about the fun of that day. Like, you've purchased these tickets, you're going, and the anxiety, the buildup of, oh, God, we got to do this rapid test first.
You come up positive, you go get a PCR test, and it's negative.
No, you come up negative.
Like, you come damn up it, negative. I missed Chappelle.
No, you come in negative, and everybody's like, whoa, and it's like a double high before you get into the big show. You already won before you get in. It's almost like the buildup. It's like part of the package.
Kind of like a gambling experience.
Do you want the pre-gate tailgate party built in with the game?
How pissed are you going to be at the person, though, that does test positive if you're in a group? Like,
yeah, where have you been?
What the hell, man? What have you been doing? You get COVID? What's going to happen then? You made me miss the show? What happens then?
That guy's out of your friend group.
I'm not going anywhere with Zoe.
No way. I would not do
I'm not
that
going
at all.
You. Why? Because you could test positive. You've had those COVID.
Yeah, let me in, though.
You've had those COVID germs floating in your body for months now.
No, they wouldn't.
I'm not
let
going
you in,
with
Zoe.
You.
That's the whole point.
I'm not going anywhere with you.
And they wouldn't let anybody in with you.
That's rude.
We started the day with the Bruins. They're worth talking about right now for a lot of reasons. Mm. Tuukka Rask came back, and there does not seem to be any sign of Tuukka Rask having any injury problems
or
back problems or any lingering effects of having the time off. He looks good through two games.
He does.
Here's what I do love about the Bruins, though, right now. If Tuukka sucks at some point or he gets hurt again, they've got another guy that I feel can actually give them a real shot in Swayman.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do. I don't know what Halak's deal is. What'd you just have on Halak?
He is going to travel with the team.
All right, so maybe he's getting closer though too. Is it a problem is it a problem to have too many good goaltenders? Because I like Halak too. I think we all do. I think he's a little limited in some regards, but he's not a bad goalie. They would then have three good goalies, regardless of what the Tuukka issues are. And a lot of people, rightly or wrongly, believe you can't count on Tuukka. I understand that criticism. I don't necessarily agree with it, but I do understand why people, you know, there's been a lot of instances of Tuca not being there in the most critical moments. Isn't this the built-in insurance policy for them?
Oh, it totally is.
Oh, well, they got two good goalies behind them, so don't worry about it.
It totally is.
No sweat.
Yeah. So our ground sources, real quick here. Yes. I got Capella down there. Bruins, I don't know if we mentioned this in the headlines.
We did.
Okay. Yeah. Not just with Locke, but Grizz and Miller and Carlo and those guys. Okay.
I did hear that.
I think the combination of that, what we sort of found out about this young goalie, excitedly, you know, I mean, due to injury though, but we don't want anybody to get injured. But it's a nice surprise to have, and the acquisitions that you got at the trade deadline have stepped right in. And they've helped your team. The team's got a little pep in their step right now, and it's not too early. They haven't really figured their spots out yet, but everything looks good. You know, it seems like maybe it opened some stuff up for Krejci to get Krejci going along with that first line. I think get in, and I think it could be a good matchup with the Caps again, like an unlikable, you know, prick team that we could get in the first round. That could be a lot of freaking fun. First round playoff hockey against that team would be a lot of fun. I don't like that team. You know?
After the game, Bruce Cassidy said that he thought the hit, the Wilson on Corrali hit, was incidental. That hit, in general, may have been an incidental hit, right?
Okay.
Do you know what's not incidental about that hit?
What, it's Tom Wilson.
Number one, it's Tom Wilson. But number two, the raising of the elbow. You can see it as he goes by. You know what he's doing. A dirty player. The guy sucks.
You got to deal with the guy, though.
Dirty player.
That's part of the lore of that potential first-round matchup. Now you got to watch what this guy's
doing. I want to see Kevin Miller...
just beat the
Bag out of Tom Wilson.
Yeah.
Is that something worth rooting for?
Do that. Do that when you get...
I want to see that.
You want to fight?
Yes, that's
fight?
Okay.
Do what they did to Wagner. Do you want to fight? Can we fight? You want to fight? Yeah.
Wilson has brought it upon himself, Beetle. I think that's okay to ask for vigilante justice.
It's hockey. Of course you could ask for vigilante justice.
Oh, is it?
It's what we love about hockey.
Is it?
Okay. Hell yeah. Eye for eye, man.
Okay.
Feels like we're getting there.
And there's one game left with Washington. May 11th, the final game of the regular season. These two teams will meet again. And that's before the playoffs, so you don't have to worry. You can fight in that one. You can let that one, pretty much I think the seeding will probably be decided by then. You won't be looking at the standings on that day, we assume, we hope. I hope that's a bloodbath. I hope that game on May 11th between these two teams is an absolute bloodbath. That's what I'm rooting for. I don't think there's anything wrong with saying.
I hope Donnybrook.
I'll tell you what I do.
Bloody faces, busted teeth.
I do wish we could sort of end things and start the playoffs right now because of the, like, what do you call that? Like your biological clock?
What do you get? Six against the Sabres? Those my cousin Vinny. Fun nights.
The biological clock is ticking right now.
How many against the Sabres, T-Bone?
April 19th. We should be getting ready for the playoffs. We should be there.
Yeah, my clock's off.
The clock is off. Freaking clock is messed up. Things are not regular, so.
He's 2 weeks late. Beatles late. Jeez.
The clock is off.
Cranberry juice. Just take that.
On your period. That's a good one. You can pull that one from The Departed. 617-779-0985. Let's get to your calls. If you're on hold, hang tight. We got open lines. Let's do that next.
Yeah.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Sports in Boston. You talk to these guys.
I'm just going to say something quick. If you want to get everything, just go see Big Al and Redo.
Zorak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Give us a follow on Twitter at Zoe and Bertrand on Twitter. Thanks for sending those tweets our way, including one from Jake Force 33.
Sent
us a video from Fenway Park. He's at the game today.
Yeah.
And much like last week when Felger and Maz was playing on the televisions inside the ballpark, I'd like to say hello to everyone at Fenway Park who's watching us in the stands today,
everybody
at Fenway, especially those of you out at the start of the grandstand in Section 1, right between Section 1 and the bleachers. Hi, guys.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing?
Double.
We should put that on the bottom. We put that on the bottom of the screen in case they don't. I know they don't have the sound,
right,
Fowler.
Well, they're probably
maybe just like
the price.
Hello to everyone who's watching us inside Fenway Park.
You stream us on your phone,
especially those people in Section 1.
Yeah, give them a big shout out. Come on, Fowler.
Give them a little something.
Is
how you
Fowler
doing?
Working today. T-Bone runs our social media, though, right? I learned that over the weekend, right? The at Zoe and Bertrand.
No, it's Beetle.
Stop. Don't you dare. I've never once tweeted from the show account that is run exclusively by the producers. Long time Jim Louth account.
Nor have you
the
stolen,
Jim Louth ghost account.
Nor have you stolen them to support your
I don't even have
followers.
A login for it. I can't even log into it if I tried. But T-Bone runs the account at Zoe and Bertrand on Twitter.
And I still think those uniforms are terrible.
And he does. He hates the Red Sox uniforms.
You came across something over the weekend.
I did. Yeah, I noticed a little something while watching the game.
How did they screw this one up?
Oh, so they're getting accused. The Red Sox are getting accused of basically ripping off UCLA for their uniforms.
Yeah, I love UCLA's
which,
uniforms.
I'll tell you where that came from. The numbers. I didn't realize the numbers they stole from UCLA. The number font on the back is UCLA.
It's on the football uniform. Yeah.
I didn't know that until I saw them this weekend. Here's where they, I think, went wrong. So the Boston Marathon uses a couple of different shades of blue. The more royal blue is the one that I traditionally associate with the marathon.
It's our old Patriot blue.
When the Boston Strong shirts were made in 2013, it was more of a royal blue.
Look it up.
The blue in the uniform, though, is more of a baby blue because I think maybe that's more of the more modern marathon color.
So it's probably easier on the eyes with the two
together.
It is
easier on the eyes.
UCLA baby blue, like the Carolina baby blue. It's way easier.
So the marathon is using both blues still?
Royal blue on the eyes sucks. I'm sorry.
I mean,
our old uniform sucked.
What's the color of the finish line?
It's the baby blue.
No. 10 years ago.
Oh, it's the royal blue.
It's a royal blue.
But
they
changed it. It's a royal blue.
They changed
it. So they changed it.
They covered her ass.
They changed the color a little bit. They've tweaked their colors. I didn't know that. So I'm like, why? So, look at the uniform. The uniform is baby blue. Baby blue trim, baby blue lettering. It's a softer blue. They're wearing these shirts underneath that are softer blue. And then the helmet? The helmet's the old blue. It's like the royal blue. I'm like, wow, that's really sharp looking. They should have put that on the jerseys. But I don't know. These marketing people, they're
421 a jersey. They're going for $421 a jersey.
What?
$421 a jersey.
Where?
I don't know. I saw it on Twitter. Someone said the pro shops or whatever.
You can buy that for like $130.
Oh, okay.
They sold out of this stuff like crazy. You can't get
it. Maybe that's, I don't know, maybe that's people jacking.
Looking at pictures of the finish line, too, they kind of modernized it in the last couple of years.
They did.
Yeah.
But if you want to go back.
It's not etched into your memory yet. That's all.
But if you
it's just a newer blue.
But if it's a nod to 2013,
I'm telling you, though,
go back to it.
Those uniforms look great. I'm a big fan of them.
I agree.
I think they're awesome.
They're sharp.
They look
There's
like
nothing
AU.
Red Sox about
them. No, McTakey, they look like an AU team.
2 days. It was 2 days.
Jesus,
you guys can handle
2 days
it.
2 days too long.
It's not like they're going to use them every weekend or every, you know, Friday. No, it's a one-time
you're
thing.
You're the effing Red Sox.
It's one-off.
I don't think it is, though.
It is. All done.
They'll bring it back. I'm with him. There's something where they're going to...
Maybe they're bringing them back because they're so damn popular.
Yeah.
Should bring them back every year for them.
Tell you what,
look at how good that helmet looks.
That's
nice.
Sharp, isn't it?
Sharp.
It's
royal blue.
That's sexy right there.
It's cool. It's nice.
What's wrong with you two?
What they're wearing today is what they should be wearing.
Let's go to your phone. 617-779-0985.
There's no middle.
We got a call from Jake at Fenway. Is this Jake Force 33?
What's up, Jake Force?
Yes, it is. What's going on, boys? How are you?
Are we still on the TVs there?
You are. I'm looking at it right now.
I'm waving
to
Jake.
When I looked at you guys on that TV, I started laughing my butt off, man.
Thank you, Red Sox. Thank you, Jake.
Appreciate it.
It was great for the Red Sox, and shout to Curry College for getting us here, too. We're having a great time. It's great to be back at the ballpark today, boys.
All right. That's awesome. Hey, Jake, enjoy the day. Hey, nice day out there.
Is Milliken in there today?
No, he's not in today.
He's getting a haircut somewhere.
All right, well, shout out to Milliken.
Thanks. Oh, you're his
right. Boy. I see you waving at me right now.
Thanks, Jake.
All right, buddy.
We're still on at Fenway Park.
You know why they probably did that? They needed to get my face, get a profile of me, so that when I disappear, you know why.
Yeah.
Probably not too popular.
Look at the bottom of the screen. Hello to everyone watching us at Fenway Park, especially those in Section 1.
We got
All right. We got it. We did it.
That's awesome.
I need Jake.
We know we're all on down at Gillette.
I need Jake to get us a video of this now on at Fenway Park with us sending a shout out to the people at Fenway.
We're on at every office.
Thank you, Red Sox, for putting us on inside the ballpark during your game.
Yeah.
That is very thoughtful of you.
Yeah. Hi, Aaron Salkin. I know you're monitoring us.
Oh, there's a lot of people that just watch every day. People that have jobs.
Take notes.
People that work and are paid to be at work are somehow managing to watch. Aldo and Ludlow, how's that alarm doing over there?
Hey, it's tweeting like a mofo. Hey, I'm calling because I thought I saw Brass Dot sister or something last night.
Who?
Destin. I go, holy shit, that guy's got...
What is going on with him today? I gotta drop him. Was he celebrating Patriots Day today? What was that? Whose sister?
Rask? Is that what he said?
I think he may have said Rask's sister.
Can you replay that, please?
I don't think we can replay that.
We got to edit that quickly. Yeah. Aldo, clean it up. Nick in the car. Nick.
Hey, what's going on, boys?
Hey, Nick.
McCarthy, I'm actually glad that you're in here so that I can get your take on this. Understanding fully that it's way too early in the season, but the Yankees really kind of sucking out the gate. And Tampa Bay and Boston kind of seeming to be, you know, getting to the top of the division come the end of the year. What would you think would look better for Chaim Bloom? Would it be like Tampa Bay and their sustained success over a couple of years? Would that give you more like confidence in Chaim Bloom going forward, or like kind of blowing the doors off season two, with the Red Sox and just going through?
It's the Red Sox. Absolutely. I don't care what happens in Tampa Bay for Chaim Bloom. He wasn't the person making the decisions there. He was the right-hand man to Neander. We have no idea if he was just
I think you missed. I think you missed his question, though.
Uh-huh. What was his question?
I think his question is, do you want to see Chaim Bloom sort of have a lot of success early and maybe go all in, buy at the deadline, add free agency pieces to win, or do you want them to be closer to the Rays, which is... I guess consistently producing talent.
You should be able to do both.
That would be my answer.
You're the Boston Red Sox. You absolutely should be able to do both. That's why, like, last year was unacceptable. You can never
call
that be that
the Theo
bad.
Model. I call it the Theo model.
Yeah.
Be like Theo.
You're the Red Sox. You're spending $200 million on this team this year. You should be, to me, a playoff team or, you know, close to it, particularly with how weak the American League is, while also building a sustained, you know, franchise that you can be competitive for the next 10 years. There is no reason for the Red Sox to ever have to go to the bottom, ever, when you spend $200 million on your team each year. Never.
Their advantage is their money. But under Chaim Bloom, they have not used the advantage yet.
So at what point do they start using it? That's the question. Because the money that they're spending, in fairness, they are spending $200 million on this team, and I think they have like the third highest payroll in baseball.
But there's a lot of money being spent on guys that aren't even...
But it's a lot of dead money. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's money that Bloom did not hand out. Mm-hmm. The most money Chaim Bloom has spent has been on Garrett Richards. $10 million.
He sucks.
And he sucks. He blows.
So does Hernandez, who hit a home run today. He still sucks.
He still sucks. That's the second most money that Chaim Bloom has spent, $7 million per year. So $17 million for those two guys, I wouldn't say is all that great. We'll see.
We'll see. But when it comes to deadline deals, if you're potentially entertaining the idea of adding and you don't want to give up prospects, which they don't want to do, and that's fine. This is the time they need to recover from a farm system standpoint. I get it.
Agreed.
You know how you pull off deals when that happens?
You take on money.
You take on money. You take on bad deals. You take on bad players with bad deals. You do all of that. That's your advantage. That's how you're able to add. But I'd be stunned if they did it. I'd be stunned if they continue to have success. They're now winning 9-2, by the way. I'd be stunned if they do that at this deadline, because I just, based on their offseason, they showed no appetite to really commit to anybody with bad money or with money, period.
John Henry's busy, you know, putting money into his new European soccer league.
I do question what's up with the Red Sox from a monetary standpoint.
You should.
Meaning?
Yeah, beyond baseball.
Okay.
From a cash flow standpoint. I think it's worth asking about.
You got get your hands on a lot of things.
Who?
No, the Red Sox.
Oh, yeah. Henry. I mean, No. I'm like, I have my hands on a lot of things?
No, not you.
I'm like, I have a portfolio I wasn't even aware of. Yeah, they're just involved in a lot of things, and I do wonder if there's any stress on the finances, given that it's been a terrible year for people that are in that business. They can't put their fans in the seats. Doing so right now at 12% capacity. That's not going to solve the income and revenue issues of all the teams in all of their sports that they're involved in.
So many empty seats.
So many.
And I know that's
a great time to go to a game.
I know that for Core keeps saying
everyone has to stay away from each other.
Yeah, we can hear the fans, all that. You know, it's you know, there's electric environment out there. It's the way baseball should be. That place should be packed today and humming.
So when are we going to get to Fenway? You and I, we got to go.
Yeah,
be great.
I'll go.
Yeah,
I'm ready to go. I'm ready to go. Games. I'll go to any games.
Let's do this
game, Fenway. Let's do it.
You guys got to wait for a suite to open up, though.
That'd be good.
Nah, we just need a nice day because it's an outdoor thing.
If I could put my
we enjoy seats. Outdoors.
I like to put.
We
my
do enjoy the outdoors, especially when it's limited, capacity.
Put my feet over the stuff instead of the chairs digging into my knees. I like to put my feet over the chairs in front. Now would be a better time for me to go than a packed ballpark. Just for my physical ability.
Physical ability.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Comfort.
Well, hello once again to everyone in Fenway Park who's tuning in today. Appreciate that. Thank you, Red Sox. Let's go, Red Sox.
Start a cheer.
Let's go. McTaggy's got your headlines. I wish there were a slaughter rule that could end this after 7.
Yeah, there should be
a little slaughter rule.
What if they incorporated the 10-run rule?
I'd be a proponent of that.
What if you get 10 runs?
Can end the game early.
Let's do it.
Is it 10? 10. Leading by 10 after 6.
So you guys really just want Little League.
Pretty much.
Little League's great.
Yeah, the uniforms, they're great.
I don't know if you like. You ever
been
watched
a good Little League game with two good pictures?
Yeah.
They move. You're in and out, an hour and 10. Ain't nothing like it.
T-Bone thinks he had a great take. They're like, oh, I'm going to stick it in your face with Little League. Actually, Little League's great.
Little League's fantastic.
That wasn't a take. That was just a fact.
What a tremendous product.
Why don't you go rent some kids? And you see, like, why you'd be rooting for them.
Billy's all about Billy Lanny back there. See him in studio, ready for the day. He'll tell you all about Little League World Series. Bring on the hot moms. How you doing? McTaggy's got headlines. We're back with more.
The old age fat kid. Yep.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Drive home with Felger and Mast right now. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Oh, is this your remix?
Such a lady, such a lady.
Now keep going. It's good.
Now, I ruined this song. See the Bengals uniforms?
I did. What's the difference?
People are going like
it's like every other Bengals uniform.
People are losing their minds over them.
What? What's there to lose your mind over?
Like how awesome they are. Like how much different are they than what they've worn? Like it is
I'm not going to lie. I got was a text this morning.
Yeah.
T-Bone, you texted us the image they released. I didn't understand what you were texting. And I just ignored it. I'm like, I don't know what this means.
It's been a buildup for like a month now.
I looked at the picture for two solid minutes going, what am I looking at? What is this?
Have they ever worn the all white? Yeah, they've worn the all white.
I don't know. Like what?
They're nice. That's a very subtle tweak. That's good.
There are very few teams that don't mess around with their uniforms.
Don't do what
anymore.
The Patriots did. Don't do it.
Including the Red Sox. Red Sox. They'll mess with their uniforms too. They did it over the weekend. Care. Wasn't bad though. It's for two games. Whatever.
I'm with that. I've got it.
Two games. Yeah, different concept. I like trying out.
It hurts your eyes
things.
On TV.
It's a little bright. I like them though. That was good. It's good. Most people.
If you're gonna go yellow, go bright yellow.
T-Bone definitely hated them. If you follow us on Twitter,
I like tradition.
Not signing his tweets.
It wasn't me.
Is this an April Fool's joke?
Dunking on the Red Sox uniforms.
Is this an April Fool's joke?
It wasn't me.
Did you tweet something connected?
Who was it then?
Who were you tweeting?
Who was it?
You, I think.
Oh, you're such an ass. Who? Me?
No, he's accusing me of tweeting from that.
You did that.
No, I didn't do that.
Who did it?
It was T-Bone. He's just being...
It was the show.
It was being him. He's just being himself. That's all he's doing. That's all he is. That he's doing. To go back to a point earlier on the Celtics in their weekend, do you think something has changed with the Celtics?
Yeah, there's a different intensity. Absolutely. 100%. Man, Tatum looks like a different guy. No, I know the points are there, and they always have been there. That's my point with it. What are you watching? They've been underachieving all year long. Underachieving for whatever reason. They haven't been playing defense. They haven't been moving the ball. They look like they don't play together. I'd say 70% of the time. And now it looks like they're playing together. Something's clicking. I don't know. Was it really Perk calling them out? Was it really Perk? Is that what Jason Tatum needs? Kendrick freaking Perkins to call him out. And they had a phone call over it. They buried anything. They got no beef.
Something's going on.
Like, but something ignited this team over the last 2 weeks.
McTakey, I know that you've been reporting on the Celtics injury report for tonight's game.
Yeah.
Is anyone going to be able to play? What's going on?
Tatum is probable with a left ankle impingement, I believe.
Left ankle?
Ankle.
Ankle okay. Impingement.
Not angle.
Angle. Left ankle.
An ankle impingement.
An ankle impingement. And
okay.
Brown has a non-COVID related illness.
As does Marcus Smart, right?
Okay, so they're hungover.
What's up with Smart?
Is there a big win?
Is this new on Smart?
I thought Smart is questionable as well.
Yep, they've added Smart to the injury list just a few minutes ago.
Again, so he's sick too?
Apparently. And Kemba. Illness, non-COVID.
What do they have?
Where'd they eat?
All you heard is Rochie has a good tweet that sums up all of it. Jaylen Brown available. Evan Fournier, as we know, is out. Marcus Smart, illness, non-COVID, questionable. Jason Tatum, ankle impingement, available. Kemba Walker, illness, non-COVID, questionable. Robert Williams, left knee, out. Well, this should be interesting tonight. Way to keep those good vibes
going. Once you find, you're starting to get your groove getting healthy, and that's all they keep talking about, banking on their health. Let's get in and let the chips fall where they may. Here we go again. It's always something health-wise with this team.
Walking wounded over
Jesus. There. They can't put a good stretch together of five games completely healthy. We want to see it because I think they're pretty damn good when they do that. Up to this point of this last 8-1 run, they've been an underachieving team. Call for what it is. Can they score in a box scores? Sure. Yeah, you end up there. If you want to hang your hat on that, you want to hang your hat on wins.
So Jason Tatum in Saturday's game, great game.
Looked dominant.
I think probably the best Celtics game of the year from an entertainment standpoint.
It felt like a playoff game.
44 points, 10 boards in the game, 3 assists, 2 steals, shot 16 of 25 in the game. Do you know what I liked most about his performance in this game?
What's that?
Not that he did it in a vacuum, but that he was competing against another star.
Yeah. Him and Curry, McCurry and the embrace after the game. Yeah.
Steph Curry looked unstoppable in this game.
It's back and forth. And Curry alluded to it, too. Like, he
How about
like
that half-ass
dude.
Shot that Curry hit, by the way, in this game? You're like, this isn't fair. It's not fair. Your talent level is not fair.
See, Girardi tweeted that, too.
It's not fair.
I could sit there in an empty gym and watch Steph Curry shoot buckets for 3 hours. Like, I could probably do that, too.
No, I think there should be, like, a new thing that he has to do when he takes shots. Like, you have to shoot with your other hand now.
No. What they
got to
do?
See if you can do it the other way.
What they have to do is
you have to shoot underhand from now on.
You know when you're watching a game and sometimes they'll green screen a graphic on the court.
It's like playing kids in wiffle ball. The adults have to bat opposite of what they normally would.
Yeah, they need something from an aerial perspective above the floor that lights up a little spot on the floor, a little circle. And he's got to get to it and shoot from there, just to complicate things for him.
That was my favorite part. That he was. It felt like there was a response. There was a rise to the occasion by Jason Tatum.
There was respect for each other. Yeah, it was you're going toe to toe with one of the best in the league.
Yeah, and he won his team the game.
Yeah,
Jason Tatum is the reason why the Celtics won. And the Celtics over their first 48 games went 23-25. Thank you, frequent emailer Neil Collins, on this. They were 4-18 when they were trailing at the half. Over the first 48 games, only three times did they have 30 or more assists as a team. Just the last nine games alone, Celtics are 8-1. They're 4-1 when they've been trailing at the half. And they've had four games in the last nine where they've had 30 or more assists as a team. Mm. Something has changed for this team. And I think the thing that's the most recognizable change is Jason Tatum.
Yeah.
Which tells you, Jason Tatum, this should serve as some sort of evidence of this, can in fact make players around him better, even if it's not directly, if it is indirectly by raising his level of play. Everyone around him is raising their level of play. Tatum can make other players better. He can make his team better.
Maybe it's like ultimately clicking for him.
Here's the problem, though. He has not done it consistently in his career to this point. And yes, he's a young player.
He's young.
But I think we're learning that the team may go the way that he goes.
That's good.
Which means he can't have letdowns.
No, but that's good for the NBA. Like, if you're going to be a good NBA team, your best player needs to do that.
They haven't faced the best competition. They have beaten some real teams here this stretch. They had what?
Have you seen the standings with like the Sixers and Brooklyn and Atlanta and Milwaukee? Like, this is going to be a fun freaking playoff, you know, this year.
For the Celtics or just in general?
The Celtics against any of those teams.
Today, as it stands today, are they beating Philadelphia in a playoff series?
I don't know that.
I don't feel they are.
I don't know. Because just when you just say, like, hey, you want to trust Embiid, sometimes he looks gassed at the end of freaking games and you wear them down. Like, I've seen them wear the Sixers down in playoff games, you know, in rounds. Milwaukee? I don't know.
Probably not.
Brooklyn? No. Right now, Brooklyn's a way better team than you are.
Philly, Brooklyn, Milwaukee. I don't love the Celtics in any of those series right now. I cannot say that I feel they would win any of them.
But you could see it being a fun series, though.
Maybe.
I think there could be a good back and forth between those top four teams there.
I still think the Celtics have a little bit of a ways to go before we start talking about them in those terms. But I think something has changed here in the last couple of weeks.
They've jumped from 8-9 to 5 right away.
You know, maybe it's just that sweet spot, that 40-60 game sweet spot that Brad Stevens told us about last week.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. Yeah, the calendar is the right time of the year. Speaking of Brad Stevens, new reports out today about Indiana and Brad Stevens and what Indiana was prepared to offer Brad Stevens. We'll tell you about that next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Putting you in the middle of the story.
Bob and Easton, Bob.
In the middle of the day.
You know why I love this show?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Because I have ADD. 38 seconds.
So
I'm talking about Greer and Shanahan to Zolak TikTok.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I love coming to work every day. I love this area. People have been great to us. My family is so happy. And at the same time, you know, home is home, and that's why I wanted to make sure everybody understood that means a lot. And but no, just like I said on Tuesday, I'm not. And so I don't know if we'll have to answer that again on Monday, but, you know, I hope that people understand that and people can hopefully appreciate that it still means a lot to me. And still, I hope they hire whoever they hire, and I hope they're there for 20 years and kids feel like I did. But I'm not a kid anymore. I'm a 44-year-old masshole. I swerve around others when I'm driving. I eat Dunkin' Donuts and I root for the Patriots. I'm unfortunately been skewed in a lot of ways, I guess.
Adrian Wojnarowski reports the Hoosiers were willing to give Brad Stevens 7 years and $70 million.
Oh.
Willing to. I don't know that they ever offered it. He does not say they did offer it. He said they were prepared to offer it.
They knew what it would take to get him out.
Yes.
From a monetary standpoint. Like, you got to make it worth his time.
But I think those words are important because that means they never even got an opportunity to offer it.
Mm. That's a lot of jack.
He wouldn't listen.
Oh, he's a masshole now, as you heard him. When you swerve, like, you ever swerve in front of people, around people? You eat Dunkin' Donuts?
I don't know what that means, to swerve around people.
He's trying so hard. I love it.
Swerving how?
Like, Patriots fan now.
Like, do I get over into the next lane and go around swerve. People? I don't know that I swerve like necessarily.
Like, I've driven with you. You get in and out.
If man. I need to.
You'll cut in and out.
Like, what does that mean to swerve?
It's hard to swerve when you have two hands on the wheel.
Swerving is dangerous.
Yeah.
Lane change, passing, yes. Don't be swerving. We don't need anybody swerving.
He's a rude driver, huh?
I don't need anybody swerving. You know who's a swerver?
Who?
Felger. Swerver.
I can see that.
Yeah.
Why is it just multitasking and just kind of swerves?
I've seen the swerve.
Is it an intentional swerve?
Oh, yeah. Back when we were in Brighton, I saw the swerve.
Speaking of Felger and Mass, 2 hours from now, the big board, the draft big board.
Starts today.
2:50 today. So I'm going to tune into that, and that's how I'm going to make my picks next week, my pre-draft show. Yep. Because they nail it. I wonder where they came up with that idea.
I may have something to do with that.
Might still be up on the TV at Fenway at this point.
Yeah, that's great. What inning are we in over there?
Top of the fifth.
Okay.
Oh,
The game is now 2 hours old, and they're in the fifth inning. In the top of the fifth.
Wouldn't it be great if this game
they've completed
inning
four
game.
Innings in 2 hours.
So Carrabba's would argue the errors of the White Sox this morning early in the game that they should have more chances.
That you can't have a seven-inning game because
when your pitcher
it's
sucks.
10-2, and it's the top of the fifth, but because they've squandered their opportunities, they deserve nine innings to try and come back in this thing.
So your former Cy Young guy just blew up in the first.
Right. That was early, though, so that shouldn't count.
That's right.
Sucking early should not count in a game.
You sat there and said, ball game. Game's over.
Right. I like games, and I like sports when you can watch the first third of it and say, well, this doesn't matter. Hockey game. You could be down 6-0 after the first. I don't want that to count and factor into the outcome. Do you guys want that to happen?
God,
I don't want that to factor in. That's not fair.
Do you remember in spring training when you could opt out of the inning?
Yes.
It was getting out of hand?
Yes. You could look over and say, we're good. You guys good? Yeah.
What if you could do that, but you lose an at-bat on the back end? So if you're getting smoked in an inning, you can just say, okay, we're done with this inning.
T-Bone, this is how you make baseball rule changes look ridiculous, and it's not appreciated. Because this is what happens when you start arguing for something reasonable. Like, let's go to seven innings, and then the side, the traditionalist, the Jared Carrabbases, and the longtime baseball fans. That's my nice way of saying old baseball fans.
Old people.
They say, the game is nine innings. You can't change it. Where will you stop this madness? They start talking about the slippery slope. When you start bringing up all kinds of whacked out ideas like that one you just came up with, that's why you start losing credibility.
That's a good idea.
When you want to make some changes to the sport.
Let's keep the Wiggy rule changes out of this time.
Wiggy, enough of that already.
That's already in the game, a version of it.
Exhibition.
In spring training.
Exhibition games. To go back to Brad Stevens, though, temporarily, Brad Stevens could at any time lose a job in the NBA and he get $10 million a year to go coach college teams. Is that a fair assessment of the situation? Yeah. That he could take whatever the best available college job is. Like this offseason, for example, college basketball-wise, we saw the UNC job open up.
Yep.
We saw the Indiana job open up, which I do not consider one of the premier jobs in the sport, but Kansas, it was available.
Kansas, Indiana, UNC would be Duke.
Well, no, Indiana, to me, is not one of those schools anymore.
Yeah. Well, not anymore, but the history there.
So?
Gonzaga.
What about Gonzaga?
We don't even know who Gonzaga was 15
years ago. I'm talking about
ago.
Where there are job openings.
I know. Okay. But I'm saying, okay, what would it take you to come out of, you know, being the Celtics?
Oh, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying he could take whatever the best available gig is.
Yeah.
Or he could go home for a year and not work and wait for a better gig. In college, what a great insurance policy, work-wise, that is.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Like, Krzyzewski will coach until death. Duke, they're never going to make a change.
Or no, he coaches until he decides to walk away. The job security there is...
Look at Roy Williams. So look at Roy Williams' track and what he took. You know, to be like successful at Kansas and then UNC, you know, after Dean Smith. Who's the other guy coached the New York Knicks, left Kansas? Was that Kansas? The glasses? A while back.
Larry Brown.
Larry Brown.
Oh.
He was at Kansas, right?
No. He was at... Oh.
Larry Brown was at Kansas, I thought, before he went to the Knicks.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. But, like, he never went back.
Where is he now, though? Wasn't he coaching recently somewhere?
Yeah, wasn't he coaching, like, internationally, overseas in Greece or something like that?
I remember, yeah, some weird thing he's doing.
Awesome. Live in Santorini? Oh, my God.
But he can leave at any point, and he's not going to do it. This is why the Indiana job is not enough to pull him away. He doesn't want to coach college. Why would you want to coach college? You want to be in the NBA. You want to be at the top. He has not had horrible seasons. He's been, again, in the Eastern Conference Finals 3 of the last 4 years.
Well, like, what would the challenge be for him there, too? Because, like, he took Butler to another level. He put Butler on the map. And that eventually led him to get in the Celtics.
And by the way, he says he enjoyed it, which is good for him. But once you get to the NBA, my feeling is you probably enjoy that more. Being an NBA coach is a better gig. And I think most people will ride that train until they can't ride it anymore.
I mean, you're coaching an all-star, all-world team, basically. You know? It's not like where you're a Butler and you got one guy carrying your team. Or one or two, you know? Like, you got this plethora of athleticism all around you. You walk in the gym, brand new facilities. He's got everything that he needs here. And he's well paid, period.
That's always good. Always helps.
And it's probably always more than what we know. Just like Belichick, right?
Speaking of Belichick, some news on what the Patriots are going to be up to. When it comes to scouting quarterbacks, they keep scouting quarterbacks. They're looking at one. The draft is now next week. It's fast approaching.
TikTok.
The big board begins today on Felger Mazzo tells me.
Yep.
Will this guy's name come up? We'll tell you about it next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.